The driver replied with a grumble of annoyance. Even so, he snatched the crumpled foreign bill from her outstretched fingers, then screeched away from the curb so quickly that she had to jump back to avoid the vehicle running over her toes. The cab's tires splashed through a pool of muddy water, which sprayed the cuffs of her red jeans and the suede tops of her Morgan trainers. She waited where she was and didn't move until the taxi had disappeared. Those were her instructions, which she'd followed precisely since landing at Reagan National 2 hours earlier. Take a cab, not an Uber. Don't take the first one in line. Skip the first two and take the third. Give your destination as the National Archives, and when you get there, cross the mall on foot. Leave your phone on, but hide it near the fountain where it's not likely to be found. Then take a second cab to the FDR Memorial. Only a paranoid mind would insist on those precautions, but the man she was meeting believed in conspiracies. His whole life had been about creating fiction that was more real than the so-called truth. That was why she'd chosen him for her story. She needed someone who was willing to reject the lies that everyone else believed. Mina Lugan, she thought, my own lies, the lies that kill. When the taxi was gone, the woman, she was 28 years old, shoved her hands in the pockets of her jacket and marched quickly into the park. She was tall, with a thin, gangly frame and messy black hair parted in the middle. Her face was elongated and narrow, her chin making a deep U, her small nose sculpted with sharp ridges, her pale skin dotted with freckles. She had thin lips and a mouth not easily given to smiling. Her dark eyes always studied the world with a grim stare, but they were also eyes that missed very little. She crossed the plaza, where she spotted FDR's famous saying carved into a stone wall. The only thing we have to fear is fear itself. But Roosevelt had been wrong. She knew there was plenty to fear. As if to prove that was true, a sharp metallic click stopped her in her tracks. It sounded to her ears like the cocking of a gun somewhere in the darkness. She studied the gnarled tree trunks and looked for the source of the threat. She didn't see anyone else, but the sickly sweet smell of marijuana and the low rattle of a cough told her there were unseen strangers watching her in the park. The street people hid in places like this, but they weren't the ones who frightened her. It was the others. The men from the pyramid. Had they found her? Hurrying now, the woman continued to the paved sidewalk that ran beside the tidal basin. Cherry blossoms blew off the trees in clouds like pink snow. The overhead lights cast strange shadows and made her body look like a giant. She was in the open now, a target. But how could they even know where she was? How could they already know she was planning to betray them? She'd been so careful. She'd told no one what she was going to do. Except for Oscar. She couldn't leave him behind and not explain why. But even her message to him had been hidden, left behind with a friend, and she doubted he would find it until long after this night was over. Even so, her instincts told her that she was being watched. She looked nervously behind her to make sure she was still alone, and then she followed the path beside the glistening water. She passed several empty benches until she found the one she wanted, the one that had a small X scratched on the seat in white chalk. Another precaution, a way to make sure she really was the woman he was expecting to meet. She took a seat, checked her watch, and saw that it was 5 minutes until midnight. 5 minutes until he was supposed to join her. Across the water, the tower of the Washington Monument glowed like a rocket ready for launch. Stars gleamed over her head in the cloudless, moonless sky. It was a beautiful night. Perfect. She wished that Oscar could be with her now. She remembered all the times he'd talked about the two of them taking a trip to America to see things like the Smithsonian, the Golden Gate Bridge, and the Grand Canyon. He'd said they could go together, maybe even as a honeymoon trip, which was his way of hinting that a proposal was coming soon. He had no idea that she'd been to the U.S. many times, that she'd done missions for the pyramid all over the country for several years. The lies that kill. Her last trip had been in October last year. Ever since then, flashbacks of that terrible night had tormented her memory. She still shivered as she pictured the thousands of people in the Atlanta streets, the screaming and chanting, the Molotov cocktails, the clouds of tear gas, and the fire.